Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Wednesday, September 27th edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. And today's edition of Sports Time Radio is brought to you by the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe. Remember, Dewey, Cheatham & Howe for all your legal needs. All right, if you want to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that went up this morning, so swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. No, I mean it, we really would. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right. Well, I had another one of those rough nights on FanDuel because I just didn't hit. So we're going to forget that ever happened and move along here and see what tonight's lineup looks like. Oddly, I did something I didn't even realize I was doing, and we'll see if you can pick up on the trend I had here as we go along. Tonight, you know, I wasn't thrilled with all the pitching matchups. You know, I wasn't sure how long a guy like Rich Hill would stay in the game, being that the Dodgers have everything locked up. So, I kind of looked around, and I actually settled on Chad Kuhl tonight of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He cost me $7,800. He's going against the Baltimore Orioles. So I think this is going to be a solid matchup for him. We'll see how it works out. Catching, I went with Stephen Vogt of the Brewers, or Stephen Vogt, depending on how you'd like to say it. He's hitting six for them. The night cost me $2,100. First base is Reese Hopkins of the Phillies. He's hitting cleanup for them. The night cost me $3,800. Second base, I have Scooter Gennett of the Reds. He's hitting cleanup for them at $3,400. Third base, I have Travis Shaw of the Brewers. He's hitting cleanup for them, and he also cost me $3,400. My shortstop is Zach Cozart of the Reds. He's hitting second for Cincinnati tonight, cost me $3,600. Then my outfield starts with Andrew Benintendi of the Red Sox. He's hitting third for them tonight, cost me $4,200. Next is Justin Upton of the Angels. Sorry, he's in a Tigers hat here, threw me off. He cost me $4,100. He's hitting third for the Angels tonight. And my outfield, and of course my lineup, wraps up with Brandon Moss of the Royals. He's hitting fifth for the Royals tonight. He's going to cost me $2,600. So my quick recap here, I got Chad Kuhl of the Pirates pitching, Stephen Vogt of the Brewers catching, Reese Hoskins of the Phillies at first, Scooter Gennett of the Reds at second, Travis Shaw of the Brewers at third, Zach Cozart of the Reds at short, Andrew Benintendi of the Blue Jays, Justin Upton of the Angels, and Brandon Moss of the Royals in my outfield. This, of course, that we've been doing for now on has been the 605 Main League, which gives you just a shade over 31 minutes to get your lineup all set and ready to go. So get it together, get it out there, and hopefully you will win some money. So there we are. So like I said, hopefully we will have some big positives as I move along here. We do have, as always on, the Wednesdays and the Thursdays and stuff, we do have some games that are not only still going on, but our finals. We have two finals. The Astros beat the Rangers 12-2. Another good outing for Justin Verlander. He picked up the win. Nick Martinez took the loss. And the A's beat the Mariners 6-5. Blake Tryon got the win, and Shea Simmons took the loss in that game. Looks like we're pretty close to wrapping up the other two. The Colorado Rockies have a 15-9 lead on the Miami Marlins. It's in the top of the ninth. Obviously, Miami is hitting with one out. And then the Giants have a 3-1 lead on the Diamondbacks, and it looks like they are just starting the top of the inning there. You know, I know Jeff Samardzija made the start for the Giants, but I don't know if that's Dan's team that's been eliminated or not, so I don't know if he's going to get that start for Samardzija. But it's looking like a pretty good one. I can check out his box score, Dan, and see what you got.
Oh, I didn't get eliminated because I made both playoffs. I'm just in the consolation round now.
Oh, well, you got eliminated from winning the league like I did. That's how that we'll look at it that way. But, yeah, Samardzija went six, gave up three hits a run. He did walk one. Oddly, only four strikeouts. That's a bit of a low total for Samardzija. Normally, he racks up the strikeouts. But, yeah, he, you know, picked up four. So, hey, at least he got your quality start on top of everything. You will be all set then with that.
When my compilation runs.
Yes. So, and I did see today that that Matt Cain of the Giants has announced his retirement.
Oh, wow.
You know, he's been injury prone for a long time, but I think people forget that, you know, he's only 32 and he's actually a three-time All-Star. So he was, you know, when he was healthy, he was a pretty solid pitcher. But yeah, I couldn't tell you. I'm going to look it up here because I can't remember the last time he made 30 starts. Here you go. He made exactly 30 starts in 2013. So he has actually made 22 starts this year and appeared in 26 games. So he's been a little healthier, but, you know, the Giants have just had a blah year. He's 3-11 with a 5.66 ERA. But yeah, he had 16 wins back in 2012. You know, he was part of three World Series championships. So, he ends up with a pretty solid career, even though he's going to go down with a losing record. Just these last, 5 years have been pretty much nothing but injury after injury for him. So he is, like I said, he announced his retirement effective at the end of the season. So, I can't say I'm all too surprised. But, Dan, I think he'll be okay because the Giants paid him $21 million this year.
Hmm. Wow. I wonder if he'll work with the organization.
I'm it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, obviously it's the only team he ever played for at the big league level. So it wouldn't be surprised if, he kind of bounces back with them or, one of those things where he just kind of continually shows up at spring training and, those other weird things that kind of happen with former players, just to kind of give themselves, big opportunities. So, but yeah, I figured since we were on the Giants, I knew that it came up. So I figured I would bring that up. But, last night, Dan, Jose Altuve reached the 200 hit mark for the fourth season in a row. So he's had 200 hits 4 years in a row and he's yet to win an MVP. He's also won a couple batting titles, but all that means nothing. I know I have to get off the bandwagon here of ripping on these guys, but Dan, I know he's gotten a little more attention this year, but it just seems like, do they not pay attention to this guy because he's 5'7"?
Well, that and because he's on the Astros.
Is that why? I mean, is there somebody else on the Astros you'd rather talk about than Jose Altuve?
Well, but he's not on the Yankees, the Red Sox, or the Angels.
Yeah, so... and I think I stretched him a little. I believe they actually listed him as 5'6". But, yeah, it was humorous because, when he first picked up his 200 hits, he won the batting title in 2014 with 225 hits. And the reason they said he didn't win the MVP award, he actually finished 13th that year, was because he didn't hit for enough power. He only hit 7 home runs. So the next year he put up 200 hits on the dot and hit 15 home runs. And that was only good enough to get him into 10th in the MVP voting. So last year he hit 216 hits, won another batting title hitting 338, and hit 24 home runs. And that was only good enough to get him to third in the AL MVP voting, as he fell, sadly, way behind Mike Trout and Mookie Betts. Altuve did not even get a first-place vote last year, Dan.
That's because you weren't voting.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, just one of those things. Oddly, though, it's kind of humorous as I pull up the stats here. They put down each player's walk total, but they don't put down their strikeout total. So I guess we're kind of back on that kick where strikeouts don't matter. So I just kind of found that interesting. But they do have WAR listed, Dan. Oh, good Lord. So.
Yeah, well, you don't want to compile negative stats.
No, no, not at all. We would never do that at all. Well, they do have how many walks a pitcher gave up when he was in the MVP race here. So, but yeah, so, you know, we'll see, you know, if this year, maybe the fourth time with 200 hits is a charm and Altuve can actually find his way to an MVP award. He does have 20-plus homers again. So, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm sure they will find an excuse not to give him the award. Just, we've got to give them a little bit of an opportunity, and they will come up with something. So, but yeah, Dan, I had a little fun today that I wanted to run by you and kind of get your opinion. Now, you know, Schomburg, Stu, and I have been going back and forth pretty much all year with the Jake Arrieta thing and how much he's going to get on the open market. Now, you know, I believe he's going to end up with probably 4 or 5 years from a team, even though he's probably going to ask for 6. And he's probably going to get in between 25 and 30 million a season. Now, Stu has been calling me nuts all year for, you know, kind of saying that was going to happen. And, you know, Arrieta went out and laid an egg last night. You know, it happens. You know, I mean, just one of those things. So what I did was I shipped Stu off the free agent list of starting pitchers. Who could possibly be a starting pitcher next year that's going to be out on the open market? And his next email to me, he began to explain how correct I was and that Arrieta will not only get that money, but he will get a long-term deal. So I thought that was quite humorous.
From the Cubs?
From somebody. You know, it's, somebody's going to pay him. You know, I mean, it's most likely going to be the Cubs with the situation they're in because they can't really allow him to get away. You know, it would just devastate their rotation because then you're looking at Lester, Hendricks, and Quintana. You know, that because Lackey's retiring, so you'd have to fill two roles. Maybe Montgomery fills one, but you know, then where do you go? We know there's absolutely nobody in the bullpen or the minor leagues who can come up and be a starter. You know, they've proven that throughout the year. So you really need to, you know, fork out that money to bring him back. I mean, you know, unless you want to go out and get Brett Anderson back, I mean, he'll be on the free agent market again. No? You weren't interested in Brett Anderson?
Oh, hell no.
So, you know, there are a couple, you know, possible under-the-radar guys that, you know, that may get a look. You know, Tyler Chatwood is a free agent. You know, I assume the Rockies will get outbid because they normally do. He's only 28, so maybe he's a sneaky type of guy. Alex Cobb is only 30. As a number 5 guy, I think I would be okay with him. You know, Jaime Garcia is only 31, but he hasn't done a whole lot this year. Jeremy Hellickson is another guy who's just 31. So is Lance Lynn, which is an interesting possibility. Dan, I didn't realize that Matt Moore was only 29 years old. It seems like he's been around a lot longer.
Yeah, but
how about this, Dan? How about that? How about this though, Dan? How about the Cubs bring Stevie in as the number 5 guy at 37 years old?
Who?
CeCe. He's been pretty solid down the stretch.
Yeah, but he's not the kind of move that they would make would be Doug Fister. That's the guy they're going to go after next year.
Yeah, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, Jason Vargas just put up 18 wins for the Royals. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, your guy Wade Miley, it looks like he'll be on the free agent market. I doubt the Orioles are going to pay him $12 million. They'll probably buy him out. So, the other real interesting name, you know, Mike, you know, Michael Pineda is going to be out there. I guess you're just going to have to figure out how healthy he's going to be. So...
Yeah, and we know they're not bringing back Ashton Kashner or Trevor Cahill.
Yeah, you know, I've learned to never say never with these guys. You know, I've been looking for former Red Sox. You know, anybody who's got a link to the Red Sox is probably has a real good possibility of being brought in. So I'm not sure who those guys are. But there might be a guy out there. Stu actually mentioned the idea of them taking a look at Bartolo Colon. So, now, Dan, do you think maybe they'll, instead of going after Arrieta, they'll try to throw that money at Yu Darvish?
I kind of think that would be the better route to go.
So. You know, it could be, you know, it definitely could be an option there. So, you know, or I wonder if they'll look at a guy like Chris Tillman, who was really good last year, but just had a, you know, he got hurt to start the season and just never recovered.
Yeah,
you know, that's one of those other things that sound would do. Oh, yeah, there's the guy, Dan. You found him. Look at that. That's who they'll sign, even though he's been hurt all year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of how they do it. You have to look for a former Red Sox or somebody with a connection to the Red Sox, right?
Basically.
So, kind of. But, you know, we were talking about pitcher retirements and stuff before, and also today, Bronson Arroyo announced that he will be retiring. He's 40 years old. He's been around a while. He ended up back with Cincinnati this year, but I believe injuries limited him to 14 starts. He had a winning record, Dan. He was actually 7-4, even though his ERA was a little over 4 at 4.8. He only made one All-Star game. I thought he made more than one. But, yeah, you know, he made the All-Stars then. I believe he was with Cincinnati. What was it, 2006 they won the world title? I don't know. Do you remember that far back, Dan? How old were you in 2006?
Did they win it? I didn't think Dusty won one with the Reds.
Oh, no. You're right. I don't think so. So maybe I can't. It's a little small. I'm having trouble reading it. But, you know, Arroyo was out, and I actually gave his record wrong. He's made 14 starts for the Reds, but he's 3-6 with a 7.35 ERA. That other record was when he last pitched with the Diamondbacks, which was back in 2014. He missed two seasons due to Tommy John surgery. He does have a career winning record. He's 148-37 for his career, but his ERA is 4.28. But yeah, you know, he ended up playing 16 years.
Not bad.
Yeah, you know, especially for a guy who didn't throw 100 miles an hour. So, you know, he definitely stuck around a long, you know, pretty long time. So, but yeah, just another one of the older guys, you know, packing it in. It's probably time for him. You know, I think the injuries had been getting the better of him, and you know, obviously, if you miss two full years. You gave it a shot, and that was pretty much that. Oh. So. And then did you see, Dan, that Major League Baseball approved the sale of the Marlins to Derek Jeter and his group?
Well, I mean, it's about time. What were they waiting for?
Yeah, you know, I often do wonder why it takes so long to do it. But, you know, I mean, I think I would have been shocked if they would have said no, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a way of keeping guys out of the club, so to speak. And it was the Cardinals World Series in 2000.
Yeah, I was going to say, like I said, that was a little small, so maybe I had a difficult time reading it. But, you know, those kind of things get me from time to time. So, but, yeah, you know, just kind of, I thought it was kind of interesting. That was the other thing. I saw that. I got another chuckle out of that because it was breaking news that Major League Baseball approved it. And I was like, wait, really? Were they planning on not approving it? So. Oh. But yes, the fun stuff. So now, Dan, do you have the Cubs actually clinching tonight? You know, they kind of stunk for a little bit last night, and then they made a nice comeback and then fell run short. They couldn't get the big hit there late when they needed it. But do you have them picking it up in St. Louis tonight by getting a win? You know, it is John Lackey on the mound.
I'm going to say no, but so that means they are. I think they're having fun playing with the Cardinals and the Brewers.
So, yeah, you know, and of course they could clinch if the Brewers happen to lose tonight. They're playing at home against Cincinnati, so there are a couple of scenarios there if, you know, things just kind of work out that way. So, but I did catch, Dan, you know, before we run away from the baseball topics, the last thing I saw, I was interested in this. Now, this was a poll, Dan, by the Mickey Mouse Network. So they named the favorite player in baseball. All right. Now, again, Dan, I'm going to, you know, again, this was by the Mickey Mouse Network. So who is the favorite player in baseball right now, Dan, according to their poll?
Mike Trout.
No, you're pretty close. I thought you possibly would go that way. Let's see. Mike Trout actually finished third in the voting. Think a little more East Coast. I'll give you a second guess. Since the Mickey Mouse Network is on the East Coast, lean that way.
Bryce Harper.
Oh, no. Aaron Judge. Is the most popular player. Interestingly, Dan, in this poll, Dustin Pedroia finished second. Mike Trout was third. So my question is, did they poll outside of New York and New England?
Right.
Is what I'm kind of wondering. So,
I mean, they probably only asked 10 people.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's true. I mean, there are no numbers here or anything to say how many people they asked or how, you know, how many it's worked out. But, you know, according to this, Judge is the first ever rookie to be the ranked as the favorite MLB player in their poll.
Oh, this is the first time I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing many of these. I also don't remember being asked to vote in any of them. So I'm not quite sure. You know, and the sad part is I'm actually, you know, while I don't pay for the website, I actually am a, I don't know if you'd call it a subscriber or whatever, you know, where you got to log in to get stuff off the website and all that fun stuff. But yeah, I guess that doesn't mean enough for me to get a vote. Maybe if I was paying for that insider newsletter or whatever they do, I would have been considered. So, but yeah, that was the big thing. Now, you know, Dan, I mean, who would be your favorite baseball player, Dan? Are you exclusively with a Cub here, or did you have another guy playing right now that you would actively root for?
You know, I was actually thinking about that the other day, and I think it's becoming harder as I'm becoming older, and pretty much the entire league is younger than I.
Yes. That will happen. Well, I think the entire league is younger than you, except Bartolo Colon, now that Bronson Arroyo has retired.
You know, my favorite guy has always been Adrian Gonzalez, but, you know, I still kind of roll with Buster Posey.
So yeah, you know, and you wonder, you know, again, how this was kind of doled out, or how they possibly figured this out. So
I was gonna say, and Addison Russell is pretty much up there, since he's pretty fan friendly now.
Yeah, you'd think, right? You know, he knocks down guys' nachos and then gives them new ones, and you know, so. You know, it was disappointing because that guy's girlfriend really got the shaft in the whole thing. She got trucked. You know, she was the one he really landed on. All that happened to the guy was he got his nachos spilled. So, you know, that was really kind of it for him. And yet he managed to get all the, you know, all the attention. So I don't know how that worked out. But, yeah, I saw like a highlight of him signing autographs or something. I'm like, wait, really? I'm like, why would you want this guy's autograph? You know, it's like, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah. Well, wouldn't you rather be him than Steve Hartman?
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously it worked out well for him. Did you actually see where, John Lackey was kind of upset because he was a Cardinal fan? And he didn't like that they were kind of playing up to a Cardinal fan. So.
Well, of course they would. That's John Lackey, though. If you sneeze.
Well,
you
know, I kind of like
bat,
that. You know, I kind of like that he was a little upset. You know, it's supposed to be a rivalry.
Yeah, but game over. I mean. Unfortunately, that era of baseball is gone.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't mean I can't miss it and want it back, right?
Yeah, unless you go to a Giants-Dodgers game. That's the only way it exists.
Then you get beat up in a parking lot. I mean, oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, you know, you can get upset about it all you want, but at the same time, I don't know, I think it was the right thing to do. And, you know, I heard the interview with the kid. It was dubbed in. Like, I didn't know it was dubbed in, but everyone else, well, nobody else knew. I knew. And, you know, he asked Russell for the selfie, and Russell said, oh, I'm not allowed. I'm not supposed to do that, which is in Major League Baseball rules. You're basically once an hour before the 30 or 60 minutes before game time, you're supposed to turn into a heel. And nobody is actually there in the crowd. You're not supposed to acknowledge anybody, talk to anybody, sign an autograph. Technically, you're not even supposed to throw the baseball. There's supposed to be absolutely no interaction between the players and the fans. And, you know, that's one of those ancient rules that I think is really 1940s and they need to do away with. I mean, it's the game, and not only the game, but the world is so different now. I mean, you know, it would have been even better if Addison Russell had his phone in his pocket and took a selfie with him, too.
So, yeah, you know. I just, you know, like, I thought it was funny. It would have been cooler if he'd have caught the baseball, but, you know, just one of those things. So.
Yeah, but
all right, well, kind of moving on. Yeah, you know, kind of moving on here, Dan. I don't know if you saw this story or heard this story. On Sunday, you know, Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz was wearing a microphone for the game. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, NFL Films does to get sound and, you know, that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I'm sure you've probably seen the videos where you hear the guys talking and all that kind of – kind of fun stuff. Well, you know, the Eagles were, I believe they were tied with the Giants with time running out. So they decided they were going to go for a game-winning 61-yard field goal. And their kicker is a kicker. His name is Jacob Elliott. I got to double-check, make sure I got his name right. Jake, well, they call him Jake. Okay, so Jake Elliott. He's replacing their original kicker, who I believe may have torn a knee ligament and is out for the season. So they're on their second kicker. When the guy lined up for the kick, Carson Wentz with his mic on said, "Man, if he makes this, I'll give him my game check." Well, he made it. So that's kind of how it was. So what they did decide to do, instead of Wentz just giving the game check to Elliott, he's going to donate it. It's going to be like a little over $30,000 to whatever charity Elliott chooses for him to donate it to. So I thought that was kind of humorous. And you know, like Elliott had no idea about it. It was actually Wentz who sent him the video of him saying it. And here the total, it's going to be $31,765 to whichever charity they decide to go to.
Well, I mean, if he's the backup kicker, wouldn't he rather have that money?
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. And, you know, there actually are some guys in the Eagles locker room who really think the kicker should get it. I just think they're, since it went out, you know, over the air like it did and all that stuff, they're just trying to make the best of it, you know. So that, and I'm sure the NFL has some archaic rule about players not being able to give other players their money. So, just one of those things. But yeah, I thought that was quite humorous that he got caught saying it, you know, through his mic. And, you know, sure enough, you know, the guy, then, you know, obviously 61 yards is a bomb for a field goal. So
he deserves 30 grand for that.
You know, yeah. I mean, the Eagles should match it and give the kid 30 grand just for making the damn, you know, the damn field goal. So, but, you know, while we're on football, and what I saw today, Dan, and this is, you know, something that, I don't know, maybe it'll affect you down the line if you decide to have another baby here and you get a boy this time, or who knows, maybe your daughter ends up being a football player. They're saying now, you know, originally they had already said that they could only test for CTE in the brain when a person had passed away. Well, now apparently they have a test where you can find out now, while you're alive, what effects of CTE you have. So, I mean, I guess what I'm kind of digging at here, Dan, is like, if you had your daughter wants to play in high school, do you let her with the effects, or, you know, say you have a son down the road here, do you let him? What's kind of the age you would be like, oh, okay, let's see how this goes?
I'm confused. I mean, did they already get tested? I don't understand the question.
Well, you know, I mean, you know kind of the long-term effects and what it can have on people. So obviously, you know, they wouldn't have any going in, but you know, as the hits pile up, you know, and I mean, who knows, maybe going in, they would have a little bit. I mean, you know how kids are. I mean, how many times did you fall on your head with your buddies? So, you know, but I mean, would you be afraid of allowing them to start that young? You know, like, I know there's leagues where they started 8 years old. I mean, say, you know, your son comes to you and says, "Hey, Dad, I'd like to do this with my friends." Are you gonna let him?
Well, I mean, playing with your friends is different than playing with a helmet on.
Well, this would be in a league with a helmet. So, you know, those leagues start at that age.
No, I mean, unfortunately, my child would be inundated with baseball, and I wouldn't be able to help much with football because I don't, how am I going to help with, I don't understand the game. I just know pass the ball, run the ball.
Well, see, you'd have to learn.
Nah, it's too complicated. I don't think so. I mean, my nephew played flag football until almost junior high. I think learning the actual game, as opposed to learning to take hits, can go further, don't you?
Yeah, well, I really think down the road that's the answer for kids. They really probably should get rid of all tackle leagues and just let kids play when they're in high school and make that decision, and just kind of go with the, with flag football till then. I mean, like you said, you can learn the game, and that's what you need to know. And then obviously, when you hit that first year of high school, you would have to be taught tackling. But that's nothing that a good coach can't teach you. And obviously that's the thing, is getting qualified coaches into the system, and all that kind of stuff that goes along with that. I mean, obviously I know it's easier said than done, and there are a ton of people who do abdicate for football. And I mean, I can tell you, I didn't play before high school. I actually was too big. The league by me had a weight limit, and I was just a big fatty. Well, sadly, I still am a big fatty, so I could not join. A lot of my friends played. Now, of course, the other thing, and I mean, there's no way you can prevent this. We play tackle without pads. So, it didn't matter to us, and I mean, we took more shots doing that than we probably ever did, padded up. To be fair, as like an offensive lineman in high school, or defensive lineman, we didn't take all that many shots. College, it got a little more funky as time went on. Obviously there's a little more contact, a little bigger men, you're playing against than before. But again, the key is just being taught correctly. You know what I mean? You think, oh, well, that's simple. You can teach them this or that or whatever. And surprisingly, it's a lot more difficult than you might think it is. But again, it's getting the right people. They actually have certifications now for coaches to get where they're actually tested. So maybe that's something to look into. Getting those guys. And I mean, I know it's tough to pay a high school football coach, especially a freshman coach, when the teachers are so underpaid. But I mean, we're talking about kid safety here. So, it's definitely something that I think needs to be looked at and can legitimately be worked out. I don't think it's an overwhelming issue. With kind of how things go, or how it works out. But it's I definitely think it's an option and something for people to maybe start looking at with their children. But yeah, we'll have to see. And I mean, there was some talk about how it'll affect the NFL. The way it's going to affect the NFL, I honestly believe, is what you're going to see is guys retiring at a younger age. They'll probably come in, and it may be a thing where a guy just plays through his rookie contract and he has a 4 or 5 year career, depending on where he's drafted. And then, you know, he takes that money and he walks away. You know, because obviously if you're a high enough draft pick, you can take that money, go away, and you don't have to worry about it ever again. You know, some of the other guys, you know, obviously if you're a lower round draft pick, you're not making the multiple millions of dollars that like a first rounder would make. But I definitely think you'll start to see these guys walk away at a little earlier age. You know, and of course, you know, it's just, excuse me. Oh, one more. Okay. Now we're all good. It's just a matter of working it into the system and getting people, you know, used to this being the norm. It's like, okay, hey, this is how we do it. You know, you play flag football through eighth grade, and then come high school, if you're still interested, you put the pads on and you learn how to tackle and hit correctly. And I think it's doable. I know in some states where high school football is really big, you know, Texas and some of the other southern states, this could be a problem. But if you've ever seen the Friday Night Tyke show, I think they should outlaw some of those leagues anyway. So that's a frightening show to watch. And I used to be a youth football coach, and I was nothing like that. And I was a yeller. So, but yeah, just, you know, there are some options out there, so to speak. So we'll have to see what they do. But you know, Dan, I got to ask you, are you getting excited already for tomorrow night?
Because they're going to slaughter the Packers? I'm trying to think of a...
Sure. If you think that's going to happen, hey, more power to you. But, yeah, we kick off Thursday night football for week four as the Bears visiting the Packers. So, you know, the Bears, of course, coming off a big win. The Packers are 2-1, but they haven't looked that good. You know, that's one of the things I know everybody is very excited about. Yeah, so I don't know. How excited are you?
Yeah. I mean, it's on Amazon TV this time.
Oh, well, see, there you go. See how that works out for you. Yeah, I think locally, do they jump to CBS now for this? I believe it's no longer just exclusively on the NFL network. I think they make the switch over to good old CBS.
It's like on every channel now. So, I mean, I don't know. You could watch it.
Yeah. I believe it's simulcast. I believe the NFL network carries it as well. But I believe the main station is CBS. And then I think locally here, don't we get it on like channel 50 in the Chicago area?
Probably. I mean, it's not like, you know, with the NFL, you have the only local announcers you would have would be the radio guys calling the game. Yeah. Not like TV wise, we got, you know, whoever Fox decides to throw, or, you know, I was even surprised. I didn't think that the Pittsburgh Bears game was considered an AFC game. It was on CBS.
Yeah, I just, you know, I thought it was interesting because, you know, there's a lot of hype now that the Bears have won a game, you know, that they're going to be able to come in and, you know, match up with Green Bay and, you know, all that stuff, you know, and, you know, Thursday night, you know, those Thursday night games are a little weird. So, you know, you just have to wonder if the Bears can, you know, put it together and, you know, shake it out and come up with a gigantic win. You're not buying it, are you? You don't buy the hype there? So.
Maybe if Mitch Trubisky was in, it would be a slaughter rule. Packers would wave the white flag.
Yes. They probably wouldn't even show up, even at their own home field, if Mitchell Trubisky was playing. So, You know. But you know, the other big NFL news, Dan, Justin Timberlake will be doing the halftime show. Do you think Janet Jackson shows up?
What? Wait, for Thursday night football, they're having like a Super Bowl halftime show?
No. For the Super Bowl itself. So they've already announced that it will be good old JT back for the halftime show. So he will be out there with his family of hits.
It would be funny if she showed up. I just think it's kind of dumb when they're like, oh, well, our Super Bowl halftime show is going to be such and such famous star, and then you watch it and there's like 30 people out there performing, you know, two songs. So it gets kind of confusing. It's the, who really is the halftime show?
Yeah, well, you know that, and I'm sure we'll get the thing of, I forgot what boy band he was in, but, you know, will they show up, or, you know, all that other stuff, you know, just kind of how it works out. But, I mean, he's as good a performer as anybody, so it makes sense to, you know, to bring him in. I mean, you know, last year, you know, Lady Gaga was good. You know, I'm not a huge fan of hers, but I thought, you know, she did a nice job with the halftime show, so...
Yeah, I don't remember.
You know, that, yeah, you know. You know, and I think that's the plan. You really just kind of want to watch the game. You know, you don't remember a whole lot about the actual halftime show. So I just kind of remember it being pretty good. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I just kind of thought it was humorous from the whole Janet Jackson angle. You know, it's like, well, hey, will she be here? You know, are we going to, you know, are they going to go that route? I mean, I really think they should bring her out and do something. I think it could be kind of humorous. So.
Yeah, well, what would even top it off is if you had two American flags, you know?
Yes. So. And then they took a knee.
I'll tell you what I'm not looking forward to is, oh, just wait. The Packers have said they have something, you know, planned for the national anthem. I'm just really tired. You know, there was one, I forget who it was that said, you know, I mean, you want to do your silent protest. Why don't you actually protest and not play the game and go in outside with picket signs and all that good stuff and actually protest the league or the game or whatever you're trying to protest. I mean, I'm kind of with that. I'm just kind of getting tired of it.
Yeah,
you know,
they'll be doing that
knee,
soon.
They're not doing anything about it.
You know, that'll happen soon, Dan, when their CBA expires and they want more money.
Yeah.
Then they'll protest. But, yeah, and, you know, until then, I mean, you know, yeah, you know, and I mean, I know we went over it quite a bit yesterday, but, yeah, I don't understand what it accomplishes now. You know, for as much as everybody hated Colin Kaepernick for it, you got to give the guy credit because he went out and actually tried to make a difference.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, he put his money where his mouth was, and, you know, he did get out there. You know, I know in Boston, the Red Sox, the Patriots, and I don't know who the third team is. I don't know if it's the – I think it's the Celtics. They're trying to put an organization together to start being active in the community with the players. So at least, you know, they're making steps in the right direction. I mean, I can honestly tell you, I would never kneel down because if I kneel down, I'm just not getting up unless somebody helps me. So that's just kind of how it works out. But, you know, I've lost track. And I mean, I don't care if you want to do it. Again, I've said it a million times. I'll support your right to do it, even if I don't agree with you, because that's what this country was founded on. But, yeah, tell me what you're doing it for. What are you accomplishing? Are you making a difference? So, you know, I'm kind of like you now. It's just kind of, I'm over it. It's kind of used up its purpose, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if I, like I said before, if I were a TV exec, I wouldn't even acknowledge it. I wouldn't even show it. I would tell my people covering the game, if you talk about it, well, then you might as well just continue talking about it on your own blog, because you won't be here Monday morning.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like I don't need to know who, you know, who's kneeling and who's standing or who's doing what. And, you know, like I know the Cowboys did that thing all together on their own. I don't understand what it accomplished. It was a bunch of guys kneeling with their owner. I mean, are you trying to show unity between black people and white people? Because you're talking about a bunch of white people and black people who are rich on the field, and that's really not the same. So, you know, I mean, you know, Kaepernick was out there talking about young African Americans being unjustly prosecuted. You know, that was kind of his original stand on what he was trying to bring light to. And I don't know if they're accomplishing that with what they're doing now. And I really think it's just time to end it.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're going to really do something.
Is dividing the country pretty much like a presidential election, which is just outrageous.
Yeah,
so, there's no purpose in the NFL.
Yeah, that just makes me laugh. I actually heard somebody blame the Steelers' loss on the fact that they stayed in the locker room for the national anthem, with the exception of that one player.
Yeah, well, that's what they get, right? Losing to one of the worst.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be one of the worst teams in the NFL.
But yeah, I just thought that was hilarious. It's like, yeah, that's why they lost. Yeah, that really had anything to do with it. So, you know, it just was like, yeah, that was it.
You know what I find funny,
but,
though?
Yeah.
The president came out afterwards and said, you know, the whole point of them staying in the locker room was to show that they weren't being politically involved in any of it, which, I mean, had the coach just came out and said that before the game, like he mentioned everything else, I think people would have looked at it in a different light. But, you know, I mean, the one thing I was thinking about was when we were in the ring. And as the show went on, you know, a lot of the indie shows did the national anthem, whether it was a live singer or, you know, pre-recorded somebody singing it. What did us as wrestlers do when that was going on?
We got ready for our matches.
Yeah. Getting changed, getting ready. You know, the two curtain jerkers were standing behind the curtain doing their, you know, normal warm-up routine. So, I mean, it is what it is. And I think everyone's just being a little too sensitive. And it's just, you know, because the country voted for Donald Trump, but the people who didn't are still upset about it.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of this is – that's where a lot of this is coming from. It's still a lot of people who are upset that Trump won, you know, and this is just kind of their new outlet for it. And it's just like, you know, God, there's better ways. Yeah, there's just better ways for you guys to channel this. It's like, please, just find a different outlet for it.
Well, I mean, even Hillary Clinton, I mean, I think in the history of the United States president, I don't think there's ever been such a worse sore loser than she has been.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously it's got to suck, you know, losing, you know, especially a presidential election, you know, because obviously it seemed like it was something she was groomed for her entire life. But, yeah,
it's been a year.
that's the thing. And, again, you know, the weird part is you would think they would want to work together and help the country now.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't that be something you would want to do? You know, but, you know, again, they all kind of have their their own motives and their own objectives and all that other kind of stuff. So it, you know, it's kind of funny, but yeah, you know, like I have decided now that on my Twitter feed, you know, at Burke time there, if you can continually talk about politics, you know, I just have to let you go because that's not what I was following you for. You know, again, like same thing with athletes or actors or whatever you want to call them. I don't care what your political opinion is. Just because you have the platform doesn't mean I want to know. So, you know, you're not, you know, are you know, you're not, I don't know, licensed or accredited or whatever you want to look at it. You know, so I don't care. You know, I'm following you for sports news or, you know, sports information or stuff like that. You know, I don't care that you don't like Donald Trump. Those are, you know, the things that I could care less about when it comes to why I'm following you. So, and, you know, Facebook is kind of the same way. You know, I know you and I have a lot of the same friends, and a lot of them are from the wrestling community. And to be fair, they're not the smartest bunch of people. And they pretty much show it every day with what they post on Facebook. And it's just like, God, you guys are dumb. You know, just leave me alone. You know, I don't want to take part in your poll on if Trump is the worst president ever. I, you know, tell me what, you know, post something about wrestling.
Well, you know, I was going to say that's one of the biggest reasons I don't watch any TV movie award shows.
Yeah,
they,
oh, God.
Like their 30-minute speech has to save the world. And, like, you know, what you just said didn't change a thing, because Monday morning, everyone else is going to go back to their regular job while you're soaking it up with your Emmy in your hot tub and, you know, your 30 hookers, male or female, or a little bit of both, whatever you want to take, call them. You know, I'd rather hear them talk about who they think, you know, the 30,000 people who helped them get there, except their political views. And that's exactly why I don't watch those stupid shows anymore.
Yeah,
you
know, again, it's
so moving.
So, yeah, you know, it's that thing where, you know, it's somebody who has a platform that doesn't need it because, you know, it's, again, you know, it's their opinion. You know, there's no fact base behind it. It's just what they think. Now, Dan and I could sit here and do the same thing, and while we give our opinion on sports, we're smart enough to realize that neither one of us are qualified enough to talk about politics. So, you know, like, we didn't tell you who to vote for. You know, I mean, I was actually nice enough to tell you who I voted for. You know, Dan was nuts enough to be an election judge, so you know how that works out. But, you know, we'll see. All right, come back tomorrow at 5:30. Dan and I will do this all again. Hopefully it'll be a lot to go, you know, cover that instead of having to talk about BS. Anyways, you know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Read that blog that went up this morning. I promise you there's no politics in that. Link yourself over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. Now, you can find Dan on Twitter, Dan and I on Twitter as well, if you want to hunt us down. As always, we appreciate you coming on and listening to us live. That's really cool of you to do. But don't forget, you can listen to the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.